We've got Olympics around the corner, Wisp, and we need to have a chat about that and some other stuff that's kicking on. Our go-to man here has to be Steve Monaghan. He's been to four of them, if you don't mind. I reckon he starts to get itchy feet. He's probably been for a run around the lake in Lake Wendouree in Ballarat. He joins us this morning. G'day, Mona.
Hi, Gary. How are you, mate? I looked out the window. It was a bit windy and thought, maybe not this year. I don't think I'm going to my fifth Olympics. I don't need to jump out of bed, do I? Okay.
Well, not at this stage. Will you go for a trot at some stage today?
Oh, yeah. Certainly try and get out. I either get on the mountain bike or run. So I'm probably running about 60K a week at the moment, so most days, which is not too bad for this old, aching, tired, broken down body.
Hey, Monas, we've been talking about broken down, aching old bodies. What do you do for your broken down, aching old body and your knee joints?
I try to look after myself. I'm actually going to Geelong today to see a practitioner down there, so I still get sort of treatment and physio massage and stretch a little bit more than I ever did. I wasn't a great stretcher, it'd be fair to say, but I'm doing a bit of that, you know, glute activation and core stability work and those sorts of things now that I can honestly say, you know, I used to think was pretty, what was it? Well, load of baloney, probably, but I've actually realised that I need to do that sort of stuff. Well, I was never really injured. You know, I had good physio and my body sort of behaved itself, and I looked after it pretty well. But as you get older and you're not quite as diligent, then you've got to do those things. So it allows me to run less and, you know, exercise still as much. So that's a good thing.
That is a great thing. You know, the stop-start nature of these Olympic Games, obviously they weren't held last year. There's been all this, you know, concern about whether or not they go ahead again this year. From the athlete's perspective, how difficult can you put yourself in the mind of somebody that's currently preparing for an Olympic Games? How difficult has this been, this preparation for them?
Oh, unbelievably difficult. You know, you prepare, we always prepared, and athletes will be doing that now. Where some athletes will have had a 4-year plan, but certainly will have had a, you know, a 12-month plan. And when you suddenly halfway through that, someone says, oh, no, we're just going to back them up another 12 months. Well, that absolutely throws you. So you've just got to hopefully be in control of what you can do, your own training, and then you just let the powers that be make the decisions. But it was a very anxious time for athletes when it was whether it was going to go on or not. Then when it was delayed, it was probably a bit of a relief. And they sort of said, oh, well, okay, at least we know now it's going to be in 12 months' time. But now as it's getting closer, you know, a lot of athletes have had trouble getting to qualification and they're not sure. So it's really about selection more so than whether the games are going to go on or not. So, you know, we're getting pretty, I think it's about 31 days or something. It's just around the corner. And, you know, I want the focus to be on athletes being selected. We've got so much other stuff happening sometimes we lose sight of that.
And our distance running, and this is not our area of expertise, you would be surprised, Mona, but it would appear that our distance running stocks are as high as they've been for quite some time.
They're going unbelievably well. They're incredibly strong. Men and women are just qualifying. We've got men's 1500, Stewie McSwain and Jess Hull. We've just got people qualifying left, right and centre. It's been fantastic. The depth in distance running in Australia at the moment is, I would say, as good as it's ever been. You know, full complement of men's and women's teams in the marathon and just across the distance. We have so many people selected that people are swapping different events to qualify. Jeff Risley qualifying the other day for his fourth Olympics, you know, so it's just been terrific. You know, it's really great to see. It's exciting being on the sidelines and seeing the sport in such good shape.
What do you put that down to, the depth?
I think probably the 12 months has allowed people to focus, to get a bit more training done and just to focus really on races and less time trialing and more qualifying. So just more competitive races. We've had lots of races here in Australia that people have qualified in. So just up the ante a bit in local competition, people racing more and getting out racing head to head, you know, getting out there. And then obviously, you know, there's once one person does it, I reckon someone like Stewie, and it happened with Craig Mottram, you know, once he mixed it with the Africans, then everyone said, oh, actually, hey, we can run against these guys. We can be competitive. We can be successful. We've seen the Ingebrigtsen family do it in Norway where they've mixed it with the Africans. Suddenly there's confidence, and I just sense there's a real confidence in amongst Australian distance running at the moment that we can be competitive. Why can't we be? And no, America got a couple of university students from America running well, and come on, Jess Hull was through that system. So it's just everything's just plants are aligning and it's going well.
And the time zone, does that work like incredibly favourably for the Australian athletes as well?
It does. It does. But unfortunately, again, it's, you know, you win on some, you lose on the others. The weather will be really warm. So we've had lots of teams going to hotter climates to just to be acclimatised. So the 2 hours is fantastic. So we don't have to worry about jet lag. And that will have a negative effect on a lot of other countries coming to the Olympics. But the actual temperature change, you know, where Southern Hemisphere, obviously, coming out of our winter and into hot, you know, the marathon's been changed up to Sapporo for that reason, because it was going to be so hot and humid in Tokyo. So, you know, the weather will be an issue, but not for all sports, obviously, but for athletics it might be.
Steve Monoghetti's joining us here. The Olympics not too far away. Mono, I read this fascinating story, for me it was anyway, in The Australian on the weekend about Nike and how they developed these super spikes and how much of an advantage it's reported they're giving to their athletes, so much so that for Reebok and Brooks, who are, you know, we all know how competitive these sporting brands are, they're allowing their athletes to wear the Nike product in the Olympic trials because they've conceded that they haven't got their technology up to the speed that Nike have. How much of a difference is this shoe making in the world of athletics right now?
I knew you were going to mention this, Gary, so I avoided the equipment thing, helping runners qualify and that sort of stuff. But that is amazing. I saw that as well. And that is incredible to think that we would get to that stage where other shoe brands are letting their athletes wear a competitor's brand because, to deny that advantage. I actually had the Alphaflies on last night. I've got a pair. They're the road shoes, and I'm running, hopefully getting to the Gold Coast for the half in a couple of weeks, and I wanted to try them out. And they definitely make you run faster. Even this, as I say, these old legs get a bit of bounce in them from the shoes. So, and the spikes seem to be making a difference. You know, we've noticed that the women's 10K was broken a couple of times within a few days just last week. So there is certainly some technology there that's helping the sport. But, you know, I think if more people are qualifying and, you know, some of the qualifyings, Gary, still go on like top 50 times in the world. So it's not like the qualifying's any easier. You still got to go off those times. So the actual qualifying times for the, certainly for the men and women in athletics, are as hard as they've ever been. You know, I would not have qualified for any team except for the marathon at these games. So that's how hard the qualifying times are. So, you know, you've got to give every advantage to athletes we can. It's great for the sport. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, recreational runners are out there and enjoying the benefits of it as well. So we can all use it, and it's just incredible that there's such a focus on our sport, and I think it's a great thing. I might be sponsored by one of them, maybe. But anyway.
Are they significantly better than the Dunlop volleys you wore in your first Olympics?
That's right. They are just slightly better, but they're clunkier, they're heavier, they're bigger. They're against, you know, I love light shoes. I was running, I'm thinking, gee, I don't want to be carrying army boots. If I'm running 42K, I want the lightest shoes you can possibly get. But these are not light. I actually weighed them last night. The racing shoes I had are 150 grams. The Alphaflies I had on my feet last night were 230 grams. There's 80 grams you're carrying, but you run faster in them because of the spring-like effect and the bounce back that you get from the foam. So it's incredible. So I've got to have sort of a mind shift for me to wear them.
Do you feel that straight away? As soon as you take that first step, you feel the difference straight away?
He bounded 8 metres.
I guess the fact that you've entered for the high jump probably answers that question.
Yeah, but it's just got that bounce on. You know, as I say, my legs, they don't have a lot of bounce in them. So when you put them on, you definitely feel like you're up. You know, you feel like you're bouncing off your toes. You just got more sort of push off on the front of your feet. So they've certainly got that spring in them that I didn't notice from racing flats that I wore. As I say, they were light. And, you know, I used to get that thumping and that sort of pounding from the roads because my shoes were so light, and that would affect your legs and take a long time to recover. There is no doubt that these shoes allow you to recover so much better. So, that's the other thing. If you're running a heat in a final and you've got shoes that you're recovering quicker in between, then that's a good thing too.
Do you reckon you put the same technology in a football boot then? Do you think they might be working on something similar to that for AFL football or other footy codes around the world?
Yeah, well, you'd be, you know, the amount of running that you're doing in women's and men's football now, you would think there's no reason why. You know, it's obviously, you know, then you've got the spikes. How do you put the spikes or the studs in the underwear, the springs are aware? But they're doing it with the spikes. So Yeah, and it will expand. Hopefully, you know, it gets to the general population, yep. and we can all benefit from it. So that's the shoe company wants it to become mainstream. So I'm sure they're looking at it.
How's it different, Monitor, to, you know, when you talk about technology and trying to push the boundaries and, you know, trying to, you know, get every advantage you can? How's it different to the swimming suits that all of a sudden, you know, developed and full length body suits that were helping people get through the water, and in the end they had to legislate against them? What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, I suppose not a lot, really. You know, that was aerodynamic through the water. And if you think about it, when you run, the only things that contact the ground are your feet. Mm. So it's quite significant to have a benefit in those. So to some degree, they are. But I think, you know, the fact that if everybody can use them, then, you know, for us, running's a pretty simple sport, let's be honest. So any equipment improvement, you know, is minimal anyway. You still got to be able to run. And, you know, I've been quite, you know, I don't like people having an advantage to run faster, but what I do love is if it gets people out racing more, you know, head-to-head racing, and we see faster times out of that racing, then that's a good thing. And as I tell people, it's not going to change the outcomes of the Olympic medals. It'll just mean that they're faster, more competitive races. So the same person will still win whether they've got the shoes on or not, because in running it comes down. You've got to have ability as well. I hate to say it, Steve and Gary, but if you put those shoes on, you've still got to actually go out and train.
Oh, damn. I was going to take it up again. Hey, we also got you on because you're the ambassador for the Sports Excellence Scholarship Fund. We love the sound of this. It provides funding for kids chosen to represent the state or their country in various sports but might not have the financial means to cover things like travel and uniforms and accommodation and everything else. So it's a fantastic initiative, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and get onto the website, sesf.org.au. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be involved for a few years and mentoring some of those kids has been incredibly enlightening to me. I've really enjoyed it. And, gosh, you know, from Gimboola, Tim, and Triadron via Devonport for you, Gary. You know, imagine you didn't have those opportunities.
Yeah,
and we'd like to think that everyone who's got the ability and gets selected, you know, wouldn't have hated if they can't go because their families can't afford it. So, and we're trying to roll it out nationally. So if there's anyone's looking for a corporate partnership, then jump on this website, get in contact, and you're helping young athletes. So it's a good thing.
100%.
Who knows? They might be off to the Olympics, and if we get those Brisbane Games in 2032, you know, or leading into Paris and LA, these are the types of kids we could see donning the green and gold as a result of your support.
Well said. It is a great initiative, and we always want people to have the chance, if they've got the ability to have the chance and not be hampered by financial challenges. So www.sesf.org.au. If you've got some sponsorship dollars you want to commit, then I couldn't think of anyone better or any organisation better. And to have Steve Monteghetti mentoring is a great thing. Mon, appreciate your time. Yeah. The
no,
Demons.
Thanks for your support.
You're happy with your
Always
Demons?
Always great to have a chat. RBG is going well, hey?
Yes.
Fantastic. We needed that buy, but we let Colin. Yeah, it's always nice to be fair, isn't it? Now we're up. Tim, look out.
Yeah, here big game.
Bombers.
Big game coming this weekend, Monas.
Got the Bombers. Great to have you on, Steve Monteghetti. Here for Made Internet and Mobile, award-winning Aussie service and a bonus title music subscription included on selected mobile plans. That scholarship is exactly what needs to happen, Tim. We need to, if you've got the ability, in whatever it is, you need to be given that chance. And just because your mum or dad or your financial situation isn't there, well, here's a way, hopefully, that can facilitate you being as good as you can be.
The applications are now open for Victorian students and their families to access the Sports Excellence Scholarship Fund. Apply now, just to back over that again, at www.sesf.org.au.